mission and what we're supposed to be doing. And Father, that leads into just things as our announcements. Vacation Bible School, I know that you're speaking to people inside this audience right now, that you are speaking to them. Father, I pray that they can't sleep until they listen to you about what their call is. And this, I mean, praise God, we have the opportunity to tell kids about Jesus Christ. Don't let us mess this up. Don't let us just blow it. What a wonderful opportunity. And whatever it might be, if it's just serving cookies, if it's just making punch, Father, there's a role for so many of us in this. Father, I pray that we're going to be speaking tonight about our discipleship, that you have a role in each, for each one of us in that too. Again, I pray that the Word of God penetrates us, that we don't just hear and we just absorb. Father, I pray that it leads out of our life, that every place we go, we share what is truly not only good news, but it is the only news that truly matters.
Yeah.
All these things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Good morning, church. How you doing? Good. You guys look good today. Okay. All right. All right. Take it or leave it. That's fine. I guess you're going to leave it. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Today we are continuing our study as we've looked at the church and the Holy Spirit. And we see that when the Holy Spirit came, that God instructed the church about a mission. And he told them that they, when the Spirit came, that they would be filled with power to be his witnesses. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to continue our study. We began asking, who is the church? Who is part of the church? Are you a part of the church? And we ultimately came, based upon Scripture, that those who are part of the church are disciples, those who have trusted and believed in Jesus, surrendered their life to follow after him, to be a learner, a pupil, and is also people who have been changed, who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, with that said, the Holy Spirit in us then will lead us to do some things. And as the Holy Spirit leads us, we have identified as a church that we are our mission is to connect people to Jesus. And as we connect people to Jesus, we will first off, and it's very important that we'll connect people to his truth, his family, and ultimately his mission. And so we need each other. Thank you so much, Caleb. We need him. And as we are fulfill this mission as a church, then the best way that we can do that is by connecting to one another. We need each other to encourage one another. We need each other to give us strength, or even to help us see some blind spots in our own lives. And so we need to be connected to one another. One of the things that we have done is we've identified some things that the Holy Spirit will lead us to do. You see them on the side walls, five things that we have been walking through as a church that really are guardrails to help us head in the same direction. There are so many things that we can do, or even we hear maybe of other churches do, but we must ask ourselves, does this part of the mission that God has given us? And I would argue that many of the things that we do, we at least need to ask, do I do this because of the traditions of man or even traditions of a denomination, or has God instructed us to do it? And so we must ask hard questions of our own lives and even corporately as a church. And so the first thing that we have identified is that the Lord will lead us to live out truth. It's not just to know truth. We can memorize God's word, and that's powerful. But it's quite another to live it out in our lives and to put faith in the promises that God has given us in the truth of his word. And so we are called to live out truth in our lives. And as we live out truth, undoubtedly, you know, if you've tried at all to live the truth or promises or commands that Jesus has given you, you can't do it on your own. And so we must depend upon God as we trust him, as we cling to him, as we're empowered by the Spirit that he has given us, as we just are tempted to go back to our own ways of handling things, we need him. And so we must learn to depend upon him in our lives. As we depend upon God, as the Holy Spirit leads us, he is going to lead us to love people. And people are hard. I mean, you don't have to elbow anyone, but people are hard, aren't they? And it's hard to love people. You know why? Because we're flawed. And But in loving people, we get to experience and be reminded of the same love that God has shown us. And so as we love God, he will undoubtedly lead us to love people. And it is my belief, we're going to love the people that are hard to love. You know why? Because they're different than us. Which expels us out of the walls of this church, out into a world that is dark. And we're called to love people different than us, with different values, that live different lives. And in doing so, it gives us the ability to share of where hope is found. And we are called to make disciples. Make disciples who make disciples. We are not called to make converts. We are called to make disciples, which means that we trust God and abide in Him. And as we proclaim the gospel, we trust that He will awaken or open eyes or bring to life people as they believe and trust in Jesus. But I also believe it means that we stand next to one another. So as we live out these truths and these promises in our lives, I need you to call to me and say, hey, Chad, who have you been discipling? And as you ask me that, I should have people that I am discipling. And if not, you should ask me, well, then are you fulfilling the mission, right? And hold me accountable. And the same should be true for each one of us. In our small groups, these should be conversations that we're having. How is God leading you to make disciples? Are there people in your sphere of influence that you are discipling? And immediately, right, these things come over us. Well, I don't know how to do that. Or are you sure God can use me? And something I just want to remind you of is that we are all disciples of Jesus. No one is Chad's disciple. No one is a disciple of Chad or a disciple of one of you, of Caleb. No one's a disciple of James. Like, we're all a disciple of Jesus. And so every one of us, as followers of Christ, we can point people to Jesus, right? Hey, we're to follow Him. We can dive into His Word and say, hey, based upon His truth, here's some things we should be doing. Let's do that together. We talked about, over the last couple of weeks, specifically in making disciples, about how we are to grow. How when we give our lives to the Lord, a lot of times, or when we first do, many of us are infants in our biblical knowledge, infants in our ability to apply faith. And I think I have a graphic for that. Yes. And so as we do, we need to learn to grow. We become self-focused when we're young in our faith. But as we grow, we start to become, take our eyes off of ourselves and put it upon people. Will you put up the circle as well? In this circle, you'll see that there are so many things that can identify us. I know this is small writing, I apologize. But you see that childs, we're self-centered, and we become childish in even the way we handle things. But as we mature, we start to become more of a young adult and start to be able to handle more responsibility. Well, the same is true in our walks with the Lord. The goal, though, is to be fulfillment, is all of us to fulfill the mission that God has given us, which means that we're to become an adult in our faith, a parent to where we're able to hold accountable and have the responsibility of helping others lead or to become more mature in their walk together. And what I want you to see is sometimes we can do that together. Like, I don't necessarily always need to go find someone who's an elite Christian, although I think that would be awesome. I think we can learn a lot from that. But we can do that together even as we seek the Lord together. We just must trust Him and learn to depend upon Him, learn to dive into His Word and become more like Him. And then today, though, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to do all of this. To do all of this, it will require you and I to have a different perspective of life. And it will require you and I to prioritize God's kingdom. Because we already will prioritize in our own lives, our own lives. And so what we need Jesus to do is to help redirect us or give us a new perspective so that we flip what we know and what culture tells us upside down and sees it completely different. Jesus was awesome at this, right? I mean, His teachings were all about taking what was culturally okay and saying, well, you have heard this, but I say this. Or you've heard it taught this way, but look at it from this perspective. And so we're going to unpack some of those today. If you are able to or don't mind, would you stand with me as we begin reading in Matthew chapter 6? We'll do so. We'll start in verse 19. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Father, we bow before you, and Lord, we need you. We depend upon you. Change us. Change the way we think. Lord, help us to repent. Help us to see things through your set of eyes. And Lord, I pray that today that we would be changed. Changed by your Spirit. Changed by the calling that you have given us. Help us, Lord, to depend on and rely upon your power. Lead us to the hurting. Lord, show us those who need the hope that is only found in you. So God, we today worship you. Thank you so much for the worship that we have already experienced. Lord, help us to continue to worship as we open your word. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Hey, don't you appreciate Joe and Brandon and KJ as they came? Yeah. I love Joe. I got to know him a lot over the years. We were youth pastors at the same time. I guess it's been 12 to 15 years or whatever. And you know, Brandon and KJ, I mean, we go way back to about 7:30 this morning. And so, but here as I'm so thankful for those guys. Man, I lost a little bit of my voice just, man, crying out in worship. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate your hearts of worship as well. Today, as we see this teaching of Jesus, he tells us what he's instructing us to do is just to see things different. And this is what Jesus came to do. To see things different, it is to see things now with a perspective of eternity. Not in this moment, right now, or even in the short term, but to see it from eternity. And when we see things from eternity, it's much different. Then we can identify that our time here on this earth is really short. Or, based upon Scripture, we're a mist or a vapor. Here 1 minute, gone the next. Just a breath. And so, if we see it from that perspective, then the things that we do today can either matter for eternity or, honestly, they'll just be a waste. And here, Jesus tackles one of these topics, and he tackles money or possessions, but he ultimately does it from the heart's perspective. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Now, he talked about finances, and in talking about finances, he says, well, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where people are going to break in and steal, but instead, make your treasure in eternity where thieves cannot break in and steal. It's there. So, what two things is he saying? Is he saying it's wrong to have things? Well, I think we can see throughout Scripture, it's not in and of themselves wrong to have things or to have finances, but it definitely is if that is our treasure or that's what consumes our mind or our decisions throughout the day. And so, he flips it upside down. And he says, instead of seeking those things, seek what is above, seek what is in heaven. Pursue or live in such a way to where your treasures are pushed on ahead to heaven where your home is. Like, he's gone to prepare a place for you. That's where your eternity lies. So have your mind set there. Or more specifically, as we'll see here in a minute, if you and I have died to ourselves and now allowed Jesus, who is in us, to live through us, then that's a completely new perspective because now it's allowing Christ to live through me. So every situation, every decision is now from the perspective of eternity, and it's all about his kingdom. So now, in a moment where we unpack some of these things, like loving our enemy, for instance, if I'm to love my enemy, then in a situation where someone comes against me, whether it's someone who persecutes me or someone who just wants ill will for me, then in that moment, in the thought of eternity, I can take that and I can seize that opportunity to be able to point them to what really matters, right? I can be humble. Instead of want revenge, I can humbly in that moment respond in such a way that's going to bring my God glory and honor. This goes against every tendency in us. So Jesus says in Matthew 5:44, he says, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, right? I'm reminded of Stephen when he's being stoned. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing, right? Even in that moment, he's showing compassion on the very people who are picking up stones to kill him. Man, what boldness, what power and authority that even as someone is picking up a stone to kill you, they have no power or authority over you, right? That humility takes that away from them. I think of even as we're talking about humility, we talk about servanthood. Jesus modeled this. Even instead of having a servant wash his feet and everyone else's feet, Jesus kneels down, takes off his outer garments, puts a towel around his waist, and washes the feet of his disciples. Even in Suriname, this is one of the things that I sought to teach the pastors while I was there, is just that servant leadership, that I'm not to take the seat of honor. I'm not to have everyone bow at my feet or try to serve me. No, no, no. I'm to serve. Because Jesus, in great humility, came not to be served, but to serve. Forgiveness. Jesus says, forgive others repeatedly. Even goes so far in Matthew 18 to say, to forgive 77 times. In other places it says 7 times 70, but here it says 77 times. And the goal, because there's two different numbers, is not that you be like, okay, that's one, I forgive you. You need to know you're at 76, so one more, and that's it. No. The heart is that I forgive as I've been forgiven. And as I've been forgiven, man, I think of what the Lord has forgiven me for. Then if you do something against me, again, how powerful is it that what you do against me doesn't affect me? Like, I can forgive you. I can say, I forgive you, because I'm going to be somewhere for eternity. It's not here anyway. And man, you then to take your eyes off of everything that tries to pull at us. This goes back to even a soldier doesn't get involved in civilian affairs, right? We've been called to something greater. Like, who cares what we could have in this world when this isn't our home anyway? Wealth, materialism. It's no doubt in Matthew 19, Jesus says, it's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because sometimes the cost may just be too great for us. Is the cost too great for you? Is the cost or the call to make disciples, you know, for some of us, we've already told God what we will or won't do. We come to God and say, I will never do that. God, you have not gifted me to do that. I will not do that. And I just want to say, then who's your God? You're still sitting upon the throne of your life. And man, we got to be careful to shake our fist or to tell God what we will or won't do. Jesus, you think of how he loved and included even the people that were cast aside. I think of women. Even his conversation at the woman at the well was very countercultural. But yet he looked her in the eye. And even though he knew how she had sinned, he loved her. And she was a great, man, she went and evangelized the whole town. Man, come and hear about this. Man, come see this guy who knew everything about me. Right? Man. The sick, the children. Even his teaching on not judging others, man, this is what social media was made for, is to judge others, right? I mean, but yet this is the calling on our life, is not to judge. And people want to throw that out really quick. Don't judge others. But I do want to tell you, do you know that we are called to judge those within the church? We are called to, you are called to look at my life, and if there's something in my life that does not line up with Jesus, you are to lovingly come to me. And for the whole purpose of to walk beside me and to help me to become more like Jesus. But you see, Jesus, man, his teachings on compassion, even just the way he modeled. I love, he saw the crowd. I believe it was when he fed the 5,000. It says he looked upon the crowd and he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And it said he had compassion upon them. And that word compassion is like the yearning of the bowels, and it produced action. And for you and for me, this is the calling on our lives, is that we become so much like Jesus that we see people and we burden for them. We see the lost of the world in our neighbors or our community, and it burdens our hearts that someone's got to do something. Someone. Who's going to tell them? And we have the Thai Dom as an unreached people group in Vietnam that we've been praying for, and we almost will treat Skytook as though Skytook is an unreached people group. You know why Skytook is not an unreached people group? Because you live here. You are Jesus to them. You get to be the light amongst them. The Thai Dom only have a very few. But here, we have a room full of people claiming to be followers of God who have the light, the power of the Holy Spirit in them. Your neighbors have hope because you live next door to them. Your family, they have hope because the Holy Spirit is in you. Speaking of family, Jesus is even teaching on the family. Kind of goes against our culture. Our culture is very much family knit. We have culture where people even live well next to their parents a lot, or siblings and things like that. Did you know Jesus said, "I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword." And in bringing a sword, sometimes that will turn daughter against mother, or brother against father, But what if God were to call you to move away from your family for the sake of the gospel? What I mean by that, what if God were to call you to sell your house and move to another state, another country? Sometimes that's going to pull you away. And sometimes we so lift up our families, we're like, I could never move away from my kids or from my grandkids or from, where's your heart? Where's your what's your treasure? You see, we can treasure things, even good things, and yet it be against the very will of God. So, as Jesus talks about, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, it's don't worry so much about all of the earthly things when it's not your home. You've been called to have your mind set upon eternity. And in that, we prioritize the kingdom. And so when we come to situations, we have to ask ourselves, how will this affect the kingdom of God? Like, for instance, if I'm tempted to sin, and maybe even someone will see me do that, how will this affect the kingdom? Well, it could rob the ability for them to even hear the gospel, because now it's confusing, because I say I believe one thing, but yet they see me do something different. Well, I'll gladly lay down that right if it affects the kingdom of God. Do you see what I mean by that? But so many times, we are only worried about the here and now and how it affects me. And so, as we looked at the discipleship and where we're at spiritually, sometimes, even some of us who have been Christians for years, decades, we may still be infants in our spiritual walk solely because we're so self-centered that God can't even use us. Like, we're unwilling to say, okay, God, you've called me. Here I am. What do you want me to do? We're unwilling to just like lay our lives on the line to say, I'm going to work today, and I know the person I work next to doesn't know you. Help me to love them to where they see you, right? We come with prioritizing the kingdom. God, how do you want to work today? Use me. I'm yours. Help us understand that. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. In verse 1, I think Paul does a great job of helping us understand this, prioritizing the kingdom of God. He says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." So, let me unpack that. If you've been raised with Christ. So, what he's talking about, he's already taught a lot about being alive in Christ. And so, what he's talking about is, if you have believed in God, I do want to say, explain one part of that. I think that it has become easy within our church culture to just say believe, and someone say, well, yeah, I believe that Jesus came, he died, rose again, as though I just believe the event happened. But I do believe that the word that is used, believed, in the Bible means far more than just believing an event happened. It means that I'm believing. I am now believing every day in a new way, that I have died and now Christ lives in me. So in other words, I'm now following after Jesus. Does that make sense? So if you believe, that's great for you to say that you believe that an event happened. But the calling of the Word of God and of Jesus is, don't just say you believe, because James says, well, even the demons believe and yet they shudder. But believe and follow. Believe and become like Jesus. Believe and walk as He now tells you to walk. Trust His promises and follow Him. This is why Jesus would say further on in Matthew, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things would be given to you. Like, don't worry about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. God takes care of even the birds and the sparrows, right? I mean, He's going to take care of you. So seek Him and His kingdom. So He says, you then have been raised, if you've been raised with Christ, so if you have surrendered your life, been made alive spiritually, you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Then he goes on and he tells us some of the things to put to death. Why? Because they don't align with the character of Christ. Then he says, well, then put on these things. Well, why? Because they are the character of Christ. And so it's this clear picture of like taking off. Some of us in this room like need to literally take off some things. That's far as I go, I promise. Take off some things so that because they don't align with the Word of God. And some of it's like literally just thinking, like perspective-wise. Like you've just come at it from a wrong perspective. Like you maybe have even pursued Jesus thinking that it's just going to make your life better. Well, I want to tell you, He never promises that. Actually, the opposite. He promises that you're going to be persecuted. And so, man, he tells us our mission and gives us clarity. And the clear mission is to be like Jesus. It is to make disciples who make disciples. And so we must learn to prioritize the kingdom, which means that in every situation, every moment of time, every decision that has to be made, we prioritize that kingdom. How will this affect your kingdom? Will this bring honor and glory to the God who has all power and authority? Will this help people to see the kingdom and that God is at work here on earth? Will this help people to see that even though I am a sinner and went through all of this pain and went through all of this struggles and all of the things throughout life, will they see that there's still hope even for someone like that? Some of you have gone through sickness, cancer. Some of you have been on this side of struggles, of marriage struggles, or even struggles of family and just battles and trials and storms. Man, when you prioritize the kingdom, it is that even in those moments, I share of the hope that there is a God who helps and gets you through that. There is a God who walks you through and gives you courage and strength to do that. And so we trust Him. We prioritize the kingdom. We make sure that we're quick to brag upon all the work that God is doing. And so, set your mind on things that are above. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. A couple of guys that I've been meeting with, we were talking about baptism, and we were talking about how baptism is literally just that. It is, I now am, as I stand in the water and I go under the water, I'm saying that I've died to my old self, and as I come up, I'm saying now, just as Christ rose from the dead, I'm identifying with Him that I too am alive. I'm alive spiritually, that the old Chad is gone, and now the new Chad has come. And even mentally, if the Spirit brings up things of the old Chad, it's really easy for me to say, you know what, hey, you're right, I did do that, but man, I've already surrendered that to Jesus, and so I don't let it affect me anymore. Does that make sense? Some of us, maybe you've had struggles your whole life. Could be an addiction. It could be a struggle towards a certain sin. Listen, that's not your identity, right? Don't let it ever be your identity. Because now, if you've surrendered your life to the Lord, your identity is Christ. And so you let that set in. My identity is Christ. And so Christ, his plan is now to live in and through you to make disciples of other people. But too often we let our struggles or our pain like be our identity. You're not an addict. You may have had addictive patterns in your life, but you're set free from that. And as long as you keep calling yourself that, you might be tied to that. No. You're new in Christ. You're no longer a slave to sin. You now have the power because of Jesus and the Spirit in you to overcome that. Trust Him. Walk with Him. Man, throughout the New Testament, we hear these same teachings. Paul says in Philippians 3, but our citizenship is in heaven. We eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in Romans 8, it talks about those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Or even Hebrews 12, we walked through Hebrews just a couple months ago. Hebrews 12 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. We are called to fix our eyes on Jesus. And the things that hinder or could potentially entangle, we strip off. Why? Because there's a kingdom at stake. And here in Skytook, there are a lot of people who, if they died right now, would spend eternity separated from Jesus. And I believe it's because you and I, we have not prioritized the kingdom of God. We've not told them. We've not shared with them. We've not loved them. And so the call, make disciples who make disciples. And as you and I make disciples of one another, and as we multiply, then it will lead us to our neighbors. It will lead us to the people in our community. It will lead us through our state. It will lead us to the ends of the earth, to where literally what happens here at Skytook will reach the ends of the earth only when we surrender to the mission that God has given us. And so how do we make disciples? Well, the last couple of weeks we've talked about it, but tonight at 5 o'clock, I would love for you to plan to come. We will have a training and talk about a way to make disciples. I'm not saying it's the way. I'm not saying that it's even the best way, but we're at least going to talk about a way. And then you can listen, ask questions. You can come. There will be dinner provided and also childcare for preschoolers. But I want to challenge you. This is the calling as followers of Christ. Make disciples. And we must prioritize the kingdom, which means that we're willing to sacrifice time, finances, whatever He calls us to sacrifice because of the sacrifices that He's made for us and because of the calling that He has given us. And so tonight, I would love for you to come. Please plan to be here at 5. It'll be at the South Campus. We have a gym over there. We will unpack a way to make disciples who make disciples. And listen, every single one of us as believers, as followers of Christ, can point people to follow Jesus, right? We can point people to be a disciple of Him. And so, man, I want to challenge you to come. For the rest of our time together, we are going to worship Jesus. And as we worship Him, we're going to remember the price that He paid for us. We're going to remember the body that He laid down. We're going to remember the blood of the new covenant that we have because of Jesus. And so, as we do that, Paul instructs us to do so in a worthy manner. It means that we don't just do it because we're hungry. It's almost lunchtime. The pastor's gone a little long, right? It's not because of that. No. We come and we remember and we do it out of worship. And so in this time, I want to challenge you to reflect upon life, to examine your heart, and to remember what Christ has done. And so this morning, if you're going to help us with the Lord's Supper, if you guys don't mind, go ahead and coming on up. As they are doing that, I want to challenge you just to take a couple of moments and get before the Lord. If you're here today and maybe you have not ever believed and surrendered your life to the Lord, I just want to tell you, we have a God who loves you. And even though you are a sinner and have sinned against God, He sent Jesus to come and to pay the price so that you could be forgiven, you can be set free. And he asks us to believe him, to surrender our lives and follow him with our lives. And listen, you can do that right now. He hears you. Call to him. Let's bow before the Lord. As they're passing those trays out, I want to just let you know there are two cups, so be sure to grab both of them. The bread is on the bottom and the juice is on the top. Paul instructs the church at Corinth. He says, "Whoever therefore eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord." And so he says this, he says, "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." And listen to this, he even goes so far as to say, "That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." In other words, he's saying this is serious. This is a worshipful time that we come and we do so together. And we remember the price that Jesus has paid for us. And we worship him. Man, to think that you and I now are forgiven because of the love of a God who we don't deserve the love from. Or to think about that Jesus came and the wages of sin was death, and so someone had to die. And Jesus came and paid that price for us. So you can see then why this time then is so serious. We thank him. We worship him. We acknowledge what he has done. And we are reminded then also of our own commitments. That I too have died. And I too have been risen with Christ. That I've been filled with his Spirit. All for a purpose. And that is to bring him glory. And to prioritize the kingdom of God that we are residents of. And so, if you would then grab the bread with me. And we will remember the price that has been paid. Jesus says this. I'll read what he said, then I'll pray, and then we'll take it. Okay? Sound okay? I do it different every time, so I figured this time I'd tell you. Okay? All right. Jesus said this. He said, "On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Jesus, we want to thank you so much for laying down your body, for paying the price for our sin. And we praise you. We lift you up. We thank you so much that we can be forgiven, that we can know you, we can walk with you. And so in this time, help us remember the body that was laid down as a substitute for us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. And Joe, will you guys come on up just when we get done here in a minute? All right. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus, we praise you again for the price that has been paid, the blood that was shed, the new covenant that we have in you. It is not based upon our abilities or what we have done, but instead it is solely because of what you have done and what you have paid. And so right now we worship you. We thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to point people to you in what we say and what we do. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. In the next few minutes, as we have worshiped Jesus, as we've been reminded of what he has done, the price that has been paid, as we've been reminded of the call and we prioritize the kingdom of God, I want to ask you this morning just to take a few moments just to worship him, to lift him up. And in this worship, I want to challenge you to worship in whatever way you feel comfortable. If you want to stay seated, you can sit. If you want to stand and lift your hands, you can do that. If you want to come and get on your knees and just cry out to the Lord, maybe just thank him for what he's done. I think that so often we come and we just do kind of what's expected of us. Well, I think I stand here. I think I need to sit here. And this morning in this time, we are called to worship him in spirit and truth. We do so with our lives, our whole lives, every decision, even in how we worship, right? I can worship him in that. If you're here this morning and maybe you've just realized that you need to repent. You need to repent because maybe you have not been living the life that he's called you to. Man, what a great opportunity just to do that before him right now. Maybe this time it's not to sing anything, but it's just to declare to him who you are. For others, maybe today you surrendered your life to the Lord, and I want to tell you, and challenge you to make that public with someone. Maybe you would go to someone in the room and just let them know, I've given my life to the Lord. Maybe you would come tell me. You know what I'd do? I'd just pray over you, probably give you a big hug and be excited for what the Lord has done. But in this moment, just a few minutes, let's worship. Let's worship as the Lord would lead us.